Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 reads, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls, but you said, we will not walk in it." Father, this is your day. Speak to our hearts. Empower us. Challenge us. Encourage us. Bless us by your Holy Spirit as you speak to us this morning. Amen. Two roads diverged in the woods, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I should be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the wood. And I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Who wrote that? Somebody said it, didn't they? Thank you very much. Incredible. One of the beautiful poems by Robert Frost. Robert Frost, if you go and look at his poem, it speaks to us about life and the choices that we have in life and the directions that we want to go. When I read Robert Frost, I come back to Jeremiah chapter 6, and I see, you know what, Jeremiah is saying exactly the same thing, just in a few different words. Jeremiah says, stand. You're standing at the crossroads. And see. Ask for the ancient paths. You have a choice. What is the decision going to be? Which road are you going to take? To understand Jeremiah and why he wrote at this time and why he said those things, it's very fascinating what was happening in the land of Israel right now. As Jeremiah was called of the Lord to give the message, he was a prophet, called as a prophet. Really, Jeremiah was born into, can I say it today in today's language, a pastor's family. He was a PK because he was a son of a priest. And therefore, he was a priest. That was Jeremiah. We often talk about Jeremiah being the weeping prophet. We named our second son Jeremiah. Actually, Jeremy. In the New Testament, he's called Jeremy. It was the right choice of name because as a baby, he cried all the time. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And why was he such a weeping prophet? Why was he called of God to speak to Judah at this time in their history? It's interesting that God calls Jeremiah and said, I want you to be my voice. I want you to speak into the hearts of the people. But there's just one thing you have to understand, Jeremiah. Nobody's going to listen. Isn't that a wonderful calling? Wouldn't you just want to be that person to be able to go and tell people some good news and they reject it? But that was Jeremiah. That is the day in which he was born. That was the calling that he was given. And now he was to speak to Judah. What was Judah like in Jeremiah's day? Well, In some respects, there was a revival. Because Josiah the king, a very young king, came into power. And during his reign, he found the Pentateuch and the writings of the prophets. And he said to all of Judah, he said, we've got to come back to the Word of God. We've got to come back to living the way the Lord has called us to live. And there was a revival in Judah, and God was honored, and Josiah was a great king, but he died very young. And as soon as Josiah died, everything went down. Morally, they were destitute. They rebuilt the groves. They developed their own shrines. Places of worship, don't have to go to the temple anymore. Politically, Nebuchadnezzar was coming through. He had already destroyed Israel. He was coming at Judah. And he was going to be taking all the young men back to Babylon with him. So politically, socially, morally, they were in trouble. And Jeremiah comes and he speaks to them. And in chapter 6, he says, flee for safety, people of Benjamin. Flee from Jerusalem. Sound the trumpet in Tekoa. Raise the signal over Beth Hakerem. For disaster looms out of the north, even terrible destructions. And he's coming and he's telling the people that unless they repent and turn back to the Lord, that destruction was in the wake. And he says, the priests are calling. And they're saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. It was a terrible time. From the best of times to the worst of times. And Jeremiah is that one voice. He is that one trumpet. He is that one individual who is willing to stand up and speak. And he says, you're standing at the crossroads, people. See what is there. Okay. When we take our small children, we come to a corner. What do we say to them before we cross the street? Look both ways. Stop. Look. Thank you. See, there's some grandpas in here. We're trying to teach our children safety and what they need to do when they come to a crossroad. And Jeremiah is saying to them, we're at a crossroads, people. Stop. Stand. Okay, first of all, the word is stand. It's not sit, because stand is a posture of action. Standing is a position of alertness and ready to go. And then he says, see. See what is around us. See what is happening. See where we have been and where we are today. Don't just be blind to what is happening. So where are we today? Morally. Politically. What is our country becoming? This past Wednesday, I was at a seminar in Vancouver. And the group that are getting together is called Culture Guard. Have anybody heard of it? Any of you? Go on their website. They are a group of people who are banding together and speaking and challenging the government on the whole issue of the policy of SOGI. How many know what SOGI is? Very few of you. This is a policy that our provincial government has brought in. And it is sexual orientation, gender identity. Okay? LGBTQ. Everybody understand that? Okay. So they've changed the name from LGBTQ to SOGI. So in our public school system, in kindergarten, they have books that show the new family dynamic today. And the teachers are to teach this, that boys are not necessarily boys and girls are not necessarily girls. This is in our province. This is taking place in Vancouver. Not in all schools, but certainly in some of them, they are promoting it. Do you know that back in 1997, when my wife had the preschool, her preschool, in order to get licensing, you had to have a library. And when they came in and looked at her library, they said, you don't have any books on two dads and two moms. She said, no, that's not our policy. We are a Christian preschool, and we don't have those books. That was in 1997, 20 years ago. Our pastor from Ruth Morton went to the Burnaby Library to look up books on family. And as he went to the Burnaby Library, he said, I looked through the whole sections, philosophies, anthropology, marriage, family, and they had all kinds of books on SOGI, on the new families. Not one book, not one book on a mother and a father in a family in the Burnaby Library. When I think of Jeremiah and I see what he had to deal with, and I hear from Culture Guard and what they are doing, one of the gals who stood up against them, they just came at her terribly. How many of you know Barry Neufeld? Chilliwack school trustee? Monday night was the school board meeting in Chilliwack. They bussed people from Vancouver to come to the school board meeting to oppose him. And the media gets up and says, look, at all of Chilliwack is opposing Barry Neufeld and want his resignation. This is our society today. Okay, let's not just spend all the time on that. Our pastor in Vancouver this week is going to court because a lady in his congregation left the church some money. And her son, who doesn't go to church, has nothing to do with the church, doesn't want anything to do with the church, is suing him and the church because they said they asked for money. You talk about persecution. It's incredible what is happening in our society today. And so when you come to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and he says, stand at the crossroads and see. He's talking to us today. We have to have our ears wide open and our eyes wide open to what is happening, what is taking place. Do you know what the federal government has done? Some of you are nodding already. So what they have done this year for students who are going to be working in camps and so on, the federal government has come across and said that we are not going to fund any organization that is not pro-life, pro-abortion. So that eliminates all the evangelicals from all that funding, the camps and so on. This is the direction our country is going. And you know what? We're going a lot faster than the U.S. and we think they have a questionable president. Stand at the crossroads and see. Boy, I better keep moving here. Where's Evan? Over there. Okay. Just tell me, go like this and like this. Okay. My wife does that, but stand at the crossroads and see. And look. Then what you do is you ask for the ancient paths, which is the good way, and walk in it. That's what he's asking us to do. Let's come back to the ancient paths. So, what are the ancient paths? Yeah, I've got to find out where I'm in. Sometimes I think we look at and we read and hear the word ancient and we think, oh, those old fuddy-duddies, that's grandma and grandpa. The ancient paths, what Jeremiah is talking about, is again, goes right back to the Ten Commandments, to the Pentateuch, and to the writings of the prophets. That's what he's talking about. He said, we've got to come back to meeting God at the throne. Coming to him and laying ourselves bare and saying, Lord, fill me and use me. Come back to the ancient paths. That way which is sure, that the way that is profitable for us, the way that will encourage us in life, the way that is good for us. It's the good path. So that's what Jeremiah, back to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, so on and so forth. But now in the New Testament, the Lord says, this is our ancient path. He said, the new commandment I give unto you, that is that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the new commandment. And so he calls us back to the ancient paths, and he's calling us back to the New Testament, the commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. And when you look at those two commandments, which are positive compared to the Ten Commandments, which are negative, they encompass all of the Ten Commandments. And he says, ask for the ancient paths. And they will guide you. And they will be good for you. So the ancient paths for us are the new commandments to love the Lord our God. And it is also the commandment, the great commission that he has given to us, that we are to go into all the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the ancient paths for us. That's where we get our vision from. And as you talked this morning, and I guess on Wednesday, you talked about your vision of what you want to do in the future and what you want to see this church do in this community and around the world, all the way down to Guatemala and around the world. That's where we get our vision from, the ancient paths, from the ancient words, because they are the ones that change our lives and help us to focus upon Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And when we do that, when we follow him, when we read his word, when his word takes place in our hearts and our lives, we will find rest for our souls. We will find rest. What is the rest? It's not taking our ease. What the rest is, it's saying, it's the absence of fear. As Barry Neufeld said, he said, I'm not afraid of these people who stand up against me. I can take that because the Lord is my strength. I stand in the armor of God. That's who I am. And I'm not going to bow down to them. Just because I write an article in the paper and express what I believe, now everybody dislikes me. I said to my wife, it's time the churches in Chilliwack stand up and send a delegation to the school board and say, hey, we're supporting this guy. We will find rest, free from guilt, free from fear, free from intimidation, freedom in Christ. This is the good way. Walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. That was Jeremiah's words to Judah. I wish we could stop there and just hope that Judah would have heard what Jeremiah had said. But the next few words are so depressing. But they said, "We will not walk in them." You see, there comes a point where we, all of us, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have to take a stand. We can't be afraid. We have to understand that one with God is a majority. You know what I love about being a Christian? I'm winning. I love to win. My wife tells me I'm too competitive. But I know I'm winning. And that one day, whether they destroy my body, I know where I'm going. And I know the end. I'm a winner. But we need to stand up and show other people that we are winners. And that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. So, dear people, we stand at a crossroads. Look and see. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the good way. And walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Minds. Help us not to be feeble but fearless. Help us to take up the challenge that you have given to each one of us to be a servant worthy of our calling. Thank you for what you're going to do through this congregation, this people, each individual, to bring glory to your name, we pray. Amen.